And I want us to really understand that so clearly as we go forward. So we're going to begin with a declaration before you are allowed to sit down. And this is just a simple declaration about our belief that God wants to speak to us during the sermon this morning, and not just during the sermon, but during life. So would you join with me, please? Let's say this together. My Father desires to speak to me more than I desire to hear from Him. As a child of God, it is my privilege and my birthright to hear my Father's voice. It's easy to hear the voice of God. Whatever God tells me to do will be the most loving, most fruitful, and most exciting thing I can do. I'm constantly hearing God's voice through Scripture, my thoughts, other people, and nature. When God speaks direction to me, He also provides the grace to do what He's asked of me. As I renew my mind, God will reveal His good, pleasing, and perfect will to me. Hearing God's voice and obeying in faith is worth any risk of failure. As I attach faith to what I am hearing, He will do exceedingly more than I could ever hope or imagine. I believe that. Please be seated. Now, with declarations, it doesn't matter if you can say, I'm there right now or not. Declarations are proclaiming with our words what Scripture says. So we're just trying to get our minds to line up with the Word of God. And when they do, God can do what God does. I want to begin this morning by reading to you 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 5, a well-known passage. All fight our battles with weapons of this world. Instead, we are using God's power that can destroy fortresses. We destroy arguments and every bit of pride that comes from anyone that keeps anyone from knowing God. We capture people's thoughts and make them obey Christ. Friends, sometimes a little thought is planted in our minds by something that's happened to us or something someone said, and it begins to cloud our perception of ourselves. It's kind of like you hear this or you go through that experience and you put on a pair of sunglasses. And forever and ever, it would seem, until Christ turns up, you're looking at life through coloured lenses, not the way it really is, but through filtered lenses. Maybe as a child in your school experience, you were bullied. Or maybe someone said, you're ugly. Or maybe someone said in a fit of anger, you'll never amount to anything. Maybe you're a failure. Maybe you're a waste of space. You hear these things time and time again, and it changes the way that we think. Maybe it's trauma that's added to it, but we begin to look through life with colored lenses. Scripture says they're not to become a part of the way that we think. In fact, it says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. In other words, when our lives have been filled with these kind of thinking and these inputs and these traumatic experiences, it affects us. It's built into us. It becomes part of who we think, our DNA and our belief system. But we need the word of God to come and to penetrate, judge and break the wrong attitudes in our head so we can live free, so we can walk free and be the people we're called to be. And I'm going to be speaking about that this morning, how God, through His Word, through revelation, can pop, explode, destroy strongholds in our thinking. Patterns of behavior that don't line up with the Word of God, but they're in us. And sometimes they're not there until suddenly we're stressed or we're upset or we overreact to something. We go, what's that about? You know, I was just asked to do the dishes. Why did I scream and yell so badly? And you have to wonder what's going on. And I believe in the Word of God, there's an answer. And through revelation, rhema words from God, there's an answer to break every stronghold, to challenge every mindset, and to set us free. Let me give you two definitions of what strongholds are. Ed Silvoso says, a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes us to accept as unchangeable situations that we know are contrary to the will of God. Neil Anderson said, strongholds are mental habit patterns of thought that are not consistent with God's word. Common way to tell if you have a stronghold is if you overreact or you hold back. You know, God says do this or say that, and you can't do it. It kind of feels like God's saying, here's a little wall, jump over it. You can do it. But you look at the little wall and go, are you serious, Lord? It's 3 stories tall. I mean, how can I jump that? In reality, you can. But there's a thought pattern, a lie, attitude of looking at yourself, which is totally untrue, that holds you back. Sometimes strongholds are linked with a deliverance need. But I've found, even if you kick a demon out of someone who's got a stronghold, unless the thinking has changed, it comes back. I used to, when I was a young Christian, I'll share this story sometime, kind of be the ghostbuster of Whangaparā Peninsula. I loved just kicking demons out of people. It was so much fun. But I found that unless the thinking was changed, month, 2, 3, 6 months later, the thing came back again. People have got to be set free in their mind. And only God can do that. He's the only one that can truly set you free. My second year of banking, I worked for a lady who was mean. I mean, she was really mean, you know. And I worked in a very, very busy branch in banking. And when there would be maybe 50 people queued up waiting, and seriously, sometimes it was 30 to 50 people queued up, maybe 8 tellers operating, this little lady in her lack of wisdom would come up behind us when we were under the most pressure, and she'd pace up and down, and she'd abuse us publicly, try and make us go, she'd point out our faults and try and make us go faster. And most of us just avoided her because she was mean. She was not a nice person. But I had time with her one day as an 18-year-old young man. And I plucked up the courage. I said, you know what? When you say all that stuff in front of the public to us and you know, out loud, it's really embarrassing and it's totally unhelpful. You know what she said? She said, that's just the way I am. And you're just going to have to accept it, Russell. Stronghold. When people say, I can't change, that's just the way I am, it's an indication there's a stronghold here, isn't it? Something's wrong. Something's got to go. And I don't believe anyone can't change. I believe in God we can all change daily if we allow him to speak to us and we're open to the word of God personally. There are 3 common strongholds, ways in which strongholds can enter your way of thinking. Number 1 in your outline, through our environment. When you were a child, your mind is like a little sponge. The things your friends say, your parents say, your school teacher says, the things your siblings say about you stick in your mind and shape your view of life. How you learn to cope with stress and danger as you are young also shapes how you're going to deal with stress and danger as you get older. Remember reading a story once of 3 brothers. And these 3 brothers had a dad who was an alcoholic who was abusive. And dad would come home from the pub frequently during the week and he would rant and rave and get violent and smash things and push the kids around. The oldest brother's way of dealing with it was to get in dad's face and say, come on, take it on, bring it on, you know. And the biggest one, the teenager, he would confront dad and would get very aggressive. The second one would say, dad, what do you want? What do you need? How can I help you? Just placate dad. And the third one, the youngest of the 3 brothers, would just go and hide in his room and just keep out of dad's way. 30 years on, the same 3 brothers. When they face conflict, what's the first brother do? He gets in people's faces and he lets them have it. He's confrontational and he's aggressive in his attitude. The second one, when he faces confrontations and difficult situations 30 years later, what does he do? Oh, what can I do for you? And he's all about being walked over and he's just going to placate them. And the third one, when he sees a difficult issue or confrontation 30 years later, what does he do? He just gets right out of there. I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to go and hide. You see, a pattern is developed through the environment as a child that can stay with a person for life until God breaks in, until God sets them free. So we can get strongholds through our environment. The second way a stronghold can enter is through our thinking. Is through traumatic experiences. Often the way a child interprets death in the family or a divorce or a rape will set up unhealthy strongholds in their mind. For example, abused kids, when they're abused at 8 or 9 years of age, will say to you, I just felt so weak, I felt hopeless, I'm a victim. And they were. But when they're 28 and 29, and they're still saying, I'm a victim, something's really wrong, isn't it? Because they're not. At 28 and 29, you can change your life, you can take control of situations with God. You're no longer going to be a victim, you are a co-laborer with Christ. But often at 28 and 29, that same person says, I've got no control in my life. I'm a victim. And it's not true. They need to be set free. Over the years, I found a way of cheating when it comes to counseling. I discovered that if I give somebody wise advice, it may or may not help. But if they hear the voice of God, it always helps. And so going way back to I was 24 years of age, I've had multiple experiences where someone's upset by life, they've been affected by some terrible thing in their background, some traumatic experience. And what I've done is simply to say, let's bow our heads. I ask Jesus to speak to you. And I'll often ask them, what's the feeling you have that triggers these reactions? And they'll give it to me. Then I'll say, God, would you tell this person the very first time they had this feeling? What's the root cause of it? Then I'll cheat again, and God always speaks. And then I'll cheat again. I'll say, well, God, what did they start believing at the age of 9 or 10 when they had that traumatic experience? What did they believe about themselves that was wrong? And God always speaks. And the next bit's always so much fun. I'll say, God, if that's what Satan said to this person at nine years of age or 10 or 12, what do you want to say now? What do you want to say to that person right here and right now in front of me? And what do you want to say to that child that was 8 or 9 or 10 years of age? And God always speaks. And when God speaks, his truth sets people free. It's better than counseling from Russell, way, way, way better than counseling from Russell. Because the memory stays there, but the pain and the ongoing influence of that memory goes completely. People get set free. It's like you've got the memory but not the poison that affects all the future relationships. And God loves to set people free from traumatic experiences. One of my favorite scriptures is John 8:32. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now in context, that's probably talking about the person who's the truth. But the reality is when you get revelations that are true, it has the same effect. It has the same effect. When you get a word from God and God speaks to your historical experience, he will set you free. The third area that is often strongholds is in the area of temptation. Satan and his helpers know where you're weak. They know which buttons to push and what to put in front of you to try and tempt you to sin. Now, if you've given in to the same sin often, you'll think to yourself, I can't help myself. I've got a stronghold. And Satan will always tempt you to live independently of God. Instead of when there's a problem or an unbearable feeling or a stressful situation, going to God and saying, God, I need you to come through for me. I'm leaning on you for an answer to this. People often default back to their previous way of dealing with it. They look for their comfort, their strength, their security in something unhealthy. God, every time that you're tempted to gossip, tempted to gamble, tempted to overeat, will provide for you a way out. He'll meet all your needs according to his riches and glory, it says in Philippians 4:19. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, you are tempted in the same way that everyone else is tempted, but God can be trusted not to let you be tempted too much, and he will show you how to escape your temptations. Now, here's the key. There's always a way out. People that tell me, I'm a sinner, I'm always going to sin, I can't stop sinning, I just totally disagree with that. That disagrees with the word of God and the power and the presence of Christ in me and in you. But when you are tempted, when a thought comes to mind, God's going to provide a way out. The thing is, he's going to provide that way out straight away. If you're thinking, I need to go down to Burger King and overindulge and this and that and so many caramel sundaes or whatever it is, and you know you shouldn't, and it's not good for you, he'll provide a way out in the first couple of seconds. Not when you've jumped in the car and you've been driving for 10 minutes to Burger King. Like, it doesn't work that way. You know, he'll provide a way out before you click on the mouse. He'll provide a way out before you open your mouth to speak to that person, that word of gossip, that secondhand thing that we shouldn't be saying. But you take the way out at the start of the temptation. Don't wait 5 or 10 minutes. It doesn't work that way. Your mind's like an airport, and you are the air traffic controller. A lot of thoughts ask for permission to land in your mind, but you have complete control over which thoughts you allow to land and which ones will be turned away. But you must decide as soon as a thought tries to land. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I believe if I'm going to take captive every thought, if I'm going to be the air traffic controller of my mind, there's a determination. There's a commitment to doing that. God, every thought that comes to my mind during the week, during the day, I want to test it against Scripture. I want to test it against your revelation. And if it doesn't belong there, Lord, it's got to go. And if it's there because of something of the past, you've got to change it and set me free. Friends, we don't have to put up with strongholds. Daily make a choice to test every thought and only act on those that line up with God's word. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't trust your feelings, as I've been saying previously. Choose to believe what God says about you and what is true. Number two, constantly check for viruses. We've got those computer systems, haven't we? And automatically every day it's checking for viruses and giving us alerts, but do that with God. Every time you overreact, you pull back. Every time God says, jump that little wall, and you go, are you serious? Did you see how big that thing is, you know? Every time you get emotional about something that you shouldn't be emotional about, you check for viruses. God, what's going on in me? What's this about? What am I thinking? What am I doing? Why aren't I free to be self-controlled and loving and for the fruit of the Spirit to be exhibited in the situation? Check for viruses. Retrain your mind to think as God would have you think. Now, for me, the best way of doing that's been to write it down. So I don't know about how you have your quiet times, your devotions. I'm actually loving driving to Mount Auburn back every day. Well, it's just a wonderful time to talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, what did you think about that? And Lord, I'm really grateful for what you did in this or that situation. And I can just have a debrief with God. But I find the things that change me most of all is when I'm sitting quietly or driving and God gives me revelation. It's contrary to how I've been thinking. It's contrary to how I've been seeing myself or the world. And I take that revelation, I write it down, and I meditate upon it for the next 7 days or so. Just keep bringing it up. God, you said. God, you said. This is how you want me to think. And I bring it up, and I bring it up, and I keep notes sometimes. I have days sometimes. I'll just write half a page of notes of what God's saying to me and meditate on that. That retrains your thinking. Back in Papua New Guinea in the wet season, it would rain much heavier than now. And we had an old Japanese Jeep that was left behind in World War II. And you'd start off in the wet season down these tracks. And at the beginning of the wet season, the Jeep would dig holes in the mud that deep. By about 3 or 4 weeks into the wet season, it was like this. In fact, Dad could have in those days put his hands behind his head, just keep his foot on the accelerator and drive itself because the ruts in the mud were so big, especially when the dry season came. These are really, really deeply formed and they become, you know, quite hard. Now, to go down the same old pattern didn't take any effort at all. But to force the vehicle, the Jeep, out of those ruts into something else took some real effort, took some real determination. And so it is with God in the way that you and I think. If I want God to transform the way I think, to renew my mind, so what I believe about myself and what I believe about you and the church completely lines up with His Word, it's going to take some effort. I'm going to have to confront wrong thinking. I'm going to have to force myself to seek the Word of God and believe the Word of God in those situations. Years ago, I wrote a foundations course, which we've got available in the foyer there, free of charge for people, just for new Christians. And I found that there was a section written by Neil Anderson. He's the same man who's written the material for setting a church free for us as a church in a couple of weeks. And Neil Anderson would say this. He would say, when you've got a strong hold, when you need to change your life, find the scriptures, the truths in your prayer that contradict, that correct the false thinking. And then declare them, read them out loud. And it's important to read things out loud because the demonic realm, even though they can sow thoughts into your mind, they respond to the spoken word. They are scared of the spoken word, the word of faith. So you need to read them out loud, these declarations, these truths on a regular basis. And he would say, read the declarations out loud for at least 40 days. And by the end of 40 days, your mind will be lining up with the word of God. And those demonic presences that might be connected will have gone. You just set, if you like, a new pathway, a new track for your life on those areas. Here's a strong old buster when dealing with internet porn. I'll just read it to you as an example. Again, it's a Neil Anderson one. And this is a really common problem. Boy, I've heard lots of stats in Urbana research and that over 90% of Christian men wrestle with this at some stage in their life. So it's a serious problem. And I'm using Neil Anderson's notes. It says this. First of all, if this is a struggle in your life, ask the question, what is Satan's lie? And Satan's lie is this, that you can't resist it. You can't help but click on the mouse or go to that website. That's a lie. It's a lie that says you have to sin. That's an absolute lie. No Christian has to sin. We can choose to, but we don't have to because we've got Christ in us. Second one, what are the effects of my sin on my life? And he's written down some examples. Deep sense of shame, warped sexual feelings, unable to relate to other people as God intended. Harmful to my marriage. He said, what are the truths? And he's written some examples down as truths that would set your mind free and change your behavior in that area. He lists 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through to 19. Now, that's a powerful passage. Powerful passage. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. people who practice ungodly things, it does affect your eternity. It does affect your relationship with God. Romans 6, 11 to 14, one of my favorite passages at baptism says that I'm dead to the power of sin. What's that mean when I'm baptized? It means I don't have to sin anymore. I've got the right to walk free of sin. I don't have to sin. I've been buried. The old Russell got buried in the watery grave when he was about 16, 17 years of age. Russell doesn't have to sin. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, that one about temptation, there's always a way out, and we're to take it urgently. Galatians 5, 16, if you're guided by the Spirit, you won't obey your selfish desires. Galatians 5, 22, God's Spirit makes us loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. And Neil would simply say, Neil Anderson, you just keep declaring the relevant scriptures. And it might not be a scripture, it might be a rhema word. For me, probably 50, 60% of the time, it's not a scripture that comes to mind when I'm praying and reflecting, but God just saying, this is how I want you to see it, Russell. This is how I see you, Russell. And those things will change your thinking long term. Example of a declaration, and you're getting more and more used to declarations. He suggests that for people with that problem, I renounce the lie that I cannot resist the temptation to look at internet porn. I declare the truth that God will always provide a way out when I'm tempted, and I will choose to take it. I announce that if I live by the Spirit and I choose to do that, I will not gratify the desires of the flesh, and the fruit of the Spirit, including self-control, will grow in me. I count myself dead to sin and refuse to let sin reign in my body or be my master. Today and every day, I give my body to God as a temple of the Holy Spirit, to be used only for what is right. I declare that the power of sin is broken in me, and I choose to submit completely to God and resist the devil who must flee from me now. Brilliant. As an example, I mean, you apply those principles to absolutely anything. Any fear, any anxiety, any stronghold from the past, those same principles can be applied to, and to keep doing it till it becomes the new natural pattern that the truck goes in. I want to say to your friends, as I've been speaking this morning, some of you will be saying, you know what, I recognize a stronghold. You know what, I do overreact in those situations. You know what, I don't see myself the way Jesus sees me. What do you do about that? I want to suggest to you several things. You can get prayer, and prayer is always helpful, but the best thing is to get revelation, and for you to open up your Bible and sit down with Jesus and say, Jesus, this is what I feel, this is what I believe about me, but what do you say? You may even cheat, as I've often done in counseling, say, God, where did this crazy thinking start? Show me the first time I thought it and what was wrong. Now tell me the truth that will set me free. Sit down and do the work with Scripture and with the voice of God and write it down and speak it out and live it in, and God will set you free. I do not believe Christians are meant to be like any other people but just forgiven. What a lot of nonsense. Have you heard Christians say that before? We're just like non-Christians, but just forgiven. Actually, no, that's totally unbiblical. You're the hope of this generation. You're part of the greatest missionary movement in the world, the Church of God. You know, you've got gifts and talents and purposes upon your life, calls and dreams in your heart that have come from God Almighty himself. Don't let Satan rob you of anything. Get yourself free and walk on the freedom he's called you to have. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to make one more declaration before the worship team comes forward for the closing song. You know, when I see people handicapped by things of the past or trauma, I get angry. It's not God's will for your life. That needs to go. It's Satan's plan for your life. He wants to take you out at the knees so you can't do what you're called to do. There's a great deal of destiny and purpose in the people in this family. Let's say this together. I will take control of all my thoughts and bring down every bit of pride, every stronghold, every lie of Satan, and make them obey Christ. I am not who people have said I am, nor am I forever destined to be a victim of life's circumstances. I serve a God whose words can set me free from any barrier to my success and the fulfillment of my life's purposes. I am able in all situations not to sin, as my God will not allow me to be tempted beyond my ability to resist, and he will always provide a way out for me. Every day I choose to do those things God's way and not lean on my own understanding. I am responsible to battle strongholds so that I can walk in the freedom Christ died to give me. I have the power and the ability to choose God's way in every situation. I will not be a victim in life because he has made me more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Let me pray for you, friends, and I'll get Renee and the team to come forward. Father, right now, we just stand alongside each other, recognizing that for many in our family, many called anointed, gifted people, there are thought patterns and behaviors that don't come from you. As Satan has tried to get in the way of your ultimate plans for us. And God, we say no more. We resist him. We will not accept it. We will not lay down and call ourselves victim. We will not say it's just the way I am. Instead, God, we will allow our minds to be renewed so we become the people you've called us to be. We'll become more like Jesus. Father, set us as a church free to be kingdom people, to be people of freedom and liberty, people without inhibition, people without fear or anxiety in this land, that people might see there's a God in heaven of power and of love and of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing as we sing.
Amen. Thank you, Russell. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mother chose.